Good evening, everyone. From historic Moody Church in the heart of Chicago come Songs in the Night with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, soloist Glenn Jorian, the King's Carolers, and organist Paul Satre. This is Songs in the Night. Another in our series, Coming to Grips with Heaven, here's Pastor Lutzer.
Thanks, Ted, and good evening to you, my friend. Last week we spoke about the new bodies that we're going to have in heaven. Today we're going to speak about the New Jerusalem. It's the best picture we have in the Bible of our eternal home. But let me begin by asking, why is the contemplation of heaven so important to every one of us? Well, for one thing, it gives us perspective. Just visualize a measuring tape extending from Earth to the farthest star. Our stay here would be just a hairline. It would be almost invisible compared to the length of the tape. That's why Paul said that the sufferings of this present world cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. We also must be reminded to lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. Every one of us wants to make wise investments. We want to get the biggest bang for our buck, as the saying goes. Well, the best investments are those that are both safe and permanent. Why should we spend time decorating a house that is on fire? Yet all we have on this earth will be destroyed. Nothing that we see with our eyes lasts forever. Recently, I was browsing in the travel section of a bookstore. Potential travelers are saving their money to prepare for their vacation. Some will learn all they can, even trying to learn the language of the country they intend to visit. Well, let's take out a moment today to look at our eternal home. We're going to be turning to God's travel guide for some interesting details. Stay tuned.
Jerusalem, my happy home, when shall I come to thy joys, when shall I see? Thy saints are crowned with glory great, they see God's face to face to face. They trust Him, they still rejoice, most happy.
Yes, my friend, tonight, in that new Jerusalem, there will be no toil. John gives us this description, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice that the city is new. It's been recreated, just as our resurrected bodies are recreated from our earthly bodies. The previous heavens, that is the atmospheric heavens, and the earth, tainted by sin, have been dissolved by fire to make room for the new order of creation, as explained in 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice also that this city came out of heaven. It originates from heaven because it is part of the heavenly realm. This is the most detailed description of what heaven will be like. So let's consider some of the features of this beautiful permanent home. The dimensions are given as a cube 1,500 miles square, and the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. That's Revelation chapter 21. Now, if we take this literally, heaven will be comprised of 396,000 stories at 20 feet per story, each having an area as big as one half the size of the United States. My friend, tonight, if you divide that up into separate condominiums, you have plenty of room for all who have been redeemed by God since the beginning of time. The Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they will be there. Then we think of the New Testament apostles and all the redeemed throughout 2,000 years of church history. Heaven will be the home for all of them. Unfortunately, however, the vast majority of the world's population will not be there. Heaven, as Christ explained, is a special place for a special people. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I fear that I will be lost in the crowd. Well, let me assure you that you need not fear being stuck on the 1,000th floor when all of the activity is in the downstairs lounge. All that you need to do is to think of where you would like to be, and you'll be there. Each occupant will receive individual attention. The good shepherd who calls his own sheep by name will have a special place prepared for each of his lambs. As someone has said, there will be a crown awaiting us that no one else can wear, a dwelling place that no one else can enter.
Then I saw a new heaven and earth, for the first had passed away, and the holy city come down from God like a bride on her wedding day. I know how he loves his own, for I heard his great voice tell. They would be his people, and he their God, and among them he came to death shall die at last. There'll be no more crying or grief or pain. They belong to the world that's past. And the one on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." Words are exact and true.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven.
Hosanna forevermore. Thank you so much, Myrna. What a blessing it is to think about that new Jerusalem. You know, my friend, tonight the details of heaven can be written, though they can be hardly imagined. Remember in John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, Christian and Hopeful finally see the city of God. But there was so much beauty that they fell sick with happiness, crying out, "If you see my beloved, tell him that I am sick with love." The city was so glorious that they could not look upon it directly, but had to use an instrument made for the purpose. This, after all, is the dwelling place of God. John wrote that the city has the glory of God. Her brilliance, he says, was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal, clear jasper. Interestingly, the city shares some features of the earthly Jerusalem. But of course, we are more impressed with the contrasts. This new Jerusalem is a city of unimaginable beauty and brilliance. First of all, there is a wall with 12 foundation stones that encompass the city. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, we read, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. As for these foundation stones on which the wall is built, each was adorned with a different kind of precious stone. The list is given there in Revelation chapter 21. These jewels roughly parallel the 12 stones in the breastplate of the high priest as given in Exodus. Now the height of the wall is 72 yards. That's not too high in comparison to the massive size of the city, but high enough to provide security and to make sure that it is accessible only through proper entrances. Second, we notice that there are 12 gates, and each is a single pearl. This is a reminder that the entrance to the city is restricted. Only those who belong are admitted. We read, "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life."
I came upon a city fair with bright walls of jasper beside the crystal sea. Its gates of pearl and streets of gold were shining, bidding a welcome to me. I saw the mansions glorious, where dwelt the saints victorious. I wept for joy and pondered o'er how this fair clime forevermore, by grace divine, could e'er be mine, could be my home for. And heard the ransomed multitude sing grand hallelujahs unto the Holy One. Their only theme, the dying Lamb of God, redemption at Calvary begun. Sweet songs I never heard before were winging from that golden shore. They made the courts of heaven ring with loud hosannas to the King. I joined the throng in that glad song, made the courts of heaven ring.
Thanks, Glenn, and of course we look forward to the day when that dream of heaven will be a reality. The 12 gates of the city, we read, are divided into four groups. Three gates face each of the four directions. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, and three gates on the south. This is a reminder that the gospel is for all men, and that all tribes of the earth will be represented in heaven. Notice that the saints of the Old Testament and the New are both included. We read that the names of the 12 sons of Israel are written on the gates of the city, and the New Testament apostles have their names inscribed on the foundation stones. Thus the unity of the people of God throughout all ages is evident. As for the street of the city, we read, it was pure gold like transparent glass. It is illuminated by the glory of God, and the Lamb is the lamp. Now I think we can better understand why Bunyan said that the pilgrims must see the city through a special instrument. Its beauty is simply too much for us to comprehend. We need a transformed body and mind to behold it with unrestricted admiration. When Christ said he was preparing a home for us with many mansions, he did not imply, as some have suggested, that he needed plenty of time to do the building. God is able to create the heavenly Jerusalem in a moment of time. But Christ did emphasize that we would be with him. And we know that his presence will even be more marvelous than our environment. The daughter of a fine Christian man who eventually died of cancer was heard to remark, "In Dad's final weeks, he spent more time in heaven than he did on earth." Well, why not? The sufferings of this present life make us anxious to get on with a life to come. As I conclude today, are you sure of your eventual destination? If not, my friend, you must transfer all of your trust to Christ. He alone is the way to the Father. Without him, no one will see heaven. With him as our Savior, our room in the heavenly city is assured.
My hope is built on nothingness than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
My friend, tonight, if you have never believed on Christ as your Savior, if you are not standing on Christ, the solid rock, why don't you trust him right now, even as I pray? Because the Bible teaches that Christ is the only way to the Father, and without him, we shall be lost forever. Our Father, today we pray that many people who are listening to this program will recognize that their only hope of heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. We thank you that in your goodness you have revealed to us so many details regarding our heavenly home. We thank you for its beauty, but above all, we want to thank you for our Savior, whom we shall see face to face. And we pray that we might live all of our days in light of eternity, knowing that we shall give an account to you for the way in which we lived, knowing that someday we shall have the priceless privilege of taking all the rewards that you give us and giving them back to you as crowns thrown at your feet. Grant us that today, we pray, and may many people be encouraged because of this hope. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
A holy city, a prepared place for a prepared people. Revelation 22:14 tells us, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates of the city." Only those who are cleansed from sin through the sacrificial death of Christ will ever walk through the gates of heaven. If you have never received Christ into your life, why not do so tonight? Then you can be sure of a place in God's wondrous home throughout eternity. As a Christian, have you ever wondered what you'll be doing in heaven? Next week, we'll find out that heaven will involve much more than sitting on clouds and strumming on harps. Join us as Pastor Lutzer describes our new occupation as our series on heaven continues. We're happy to announce that Moody Press has prepared a booklet entitled Coming to Grips with Heaven. Written by Pastor Lutzer, this book sums up all that we'll learn during this current series. And we'd like to place a free copy of this booklet in your hands. And to do so, all we need is your name and address. Just write to us at Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write, mention the booklet on heaven. It's our desire that Songs in the Night encourage you as you listen week by week. If it does, let us know when you write. We thank the many of you who support Songs in the Night, as this helps us to keep this encouragement coming in the months ahead. Our address once again is Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Bringing tonight's message was our pastor here at the Moody Church, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Glenn Jorin was our soloist, along with the King's Carolers, Myrna White, Joanna Hettinga, and Marcia Twaddell. Paul Satry was at the organ. And this is Ted Seeley, hoping you'll tune in again next week for more Songs in the Night.